Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me, continuing our position group preview series with the edge rooms. Previously, we looked at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line. I also have written previews over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Be sure to check all that out. That's where we can really dig in depth. You know, these podcasts are fun, but just the general construct of you know, a podcast, we can't necessarily get into all the nitty-gritty stats and everything like that. But regardless, this format will stay the same as previous episodes. We'll look at a strength of the room, the biggest question mark in our eyes. If there is a position battle, kind of what we're looking at in that position battle. Steve will give his X-Factor player to watch. I'll give my stat that I'm looking at, and then we'll close with our bold predictions for the room. So, Steve, with this edge room, the strength I wrote down is I think this room has a lot of upside. And what I mean by that is I think all four of the rotation edge players, Braden McGregor, Derek Moore, Jalen Harrell, and Josiah Stewart, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, maybe someone will throw this in my face in a couple of years. I think all four of them can be top 100 NFL draft picks. I don't know that all four will, but I do think all four can. So to me, I really like the upside of this group. I think at the field edge, which, you know, think Rashawn Gary, Aiden Hutchinson, Mike Morris, those kind of players, you know, the bigger edge guys, I suppose. Braden McGregor, former blue chip recruit, really started to come on strong last year and was actually better against the run than I think he got credit for. I think a lot of people think of him as, you know, Aiden Hutchinson light. I love our message board calling him public school Aiden Hutchinson. I think that is, I think it's just a hilarious comparison, but I think it's also kind of true. I mean, they're the same size. You know, they both have mean streaks. They both grew up gigantic Michigan fans. I know Braden's from the Port Huron area. So I think, you know, he had such a long injury recovery. Was it MCL, UCL, PCL, his senior year that he tore? So in a way, I know he's technically a fourth-year player. I think this is almost the equivalent of like year two or year three for him. So I'm pretty sold on him. I think he checks a lot of the NFL measurables. I don't know his 40 time or shuttle time or things like that, but I think Michigan believes he has NFL athleticism. I know NFL scouts are starting to, they're going to be watching him closely this year, because I think they see a lot of that potential in those last few games Michigan had last season. Derek Moore, I know I've said on this podcast, Michigan thinks he can be a first round draft pick. They think he can be a top 10 NFL draft pick when it's all said and done. Very fascinating to see what he looks like this year. I know last year he was, 6'3", 279. Now he's 6'3", 256. Former top 100 recruit. I know he was someone, I think he was committed to Oklahoma, right? And I think when Michigan started to have that success, make the playoff, the Wolverines immediately went after Derek Moore. I know I mentioned in the last episode, Mason Graham had the most sacks by a true freshman since Craig Rowe. Derek Moore was second. He had two. I mean, I know that sounds like a small number, but that just speaks to how hard it is to be an effective pass rusher as a true freshman. He's already kind of got some of that down. And then Jalen Harrell started 12 games last season. He's been effective against the run for a long time. And then I think you saw against Ohio State a little bit of that coverage ability. I know he talked about how, you know, the coverage play on Cade Stover, monumental play. And that was just instincts for him. That wasn't even his assigned role necessarily for that play. I mean, it was a read, but at the same time, you know, I think he showed that. And then the next week against Purdue, he had two sacks. So I'm fascinated by him. Josiah Stewart, Coastal Carolina transfer. I mean, 16 sacks, 81 quarterback pressures, 4 forced fumbles in his first two seasons with the Chanticleers. I know it's not the same as big-time competition, but we've talked about him. Same size as Josh Uche. And the way, when you watch him play, the bend that he has, the pad level that he can get to, you know, he's it will be an adjustment process for him just because he is going to be smaller than normal Big Ten edge guys. You know, he's going to be outsized sometimes against offensive linemen or tight ends in Big Ten play. But at the same time, I just think back to the Josh Uche comparison. It's just what jumps out to me. Same size, same traits in terms of as a pass rusher. And if he can have comparable production, well, Josh Uche was a top 100 pick. So to me, biggest strength of the room, this top four, I think all four have top 100 NFL draft upside. Steve, what's the biggest strength you see in this edge room?
I feel like it is another spot where there's a very diverse skill set at the top of the unit, right? Talk about Braden McGregor's, you know, kind of coming, the light kind of turning on for him late last year. I mean, what did he almost had two pick sixes against Ohio State? I know he had at least one where he really was close to picking it off, but a guy, yeah, all these guys pretty much played their best football at the end of last season. I mean, even what Jalen Harrell had two sacks in the Big Ten championship game. Yeah, Josiah Stewart. I made the Josh Uche comparison. I was almost immediately regretted it because I couldn't remember if Uche was 6'1" or if he was a little bit taller than that. You know, maybe it was a little off, but it wasn't. It's spot on. I think there's a real opportunity there. And then Derek Moore. Yeah, I mean, he's the guy I've been picking him as my breakout since the spring. That was before I knew he was down 20 plus pounds. I feel even better about that pick now because of that. So Moore and McGregor, maybe relatively similar, but then you add Stewart and you add Harrell in there. They're just a very diverse mix of skill sets there that, again, could give opposing offensive lines problems. We talk about feeding off of what the interior will offer. You know, I feel like these guys are going to definitely have opportunities to get to the quarterback. So a lot of toys for Jesse Minter to kind of mess with, you know, and try some different things to see what they can come up with, because there's just a lot of different types of guys in that room that, you know, can attack the quarterback in some different ways.
Yeah. And I think one thing to note, because the edge room did lose, I mean, they lose Mike Morris, who was Big Ten defensive lineman of the year, I believe. And then I know Yabioki was second in sacks. I think Taylor Upshaw was up there. He had multiple sacks each of the past few seasons. But in the final three games for Michigan last season, that's Ohio State, Purdue, TCU, it was actually Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor, Derek Moore, who were 1, 2, 3 in snaps. So that tells me that these guys were going to be the three guys moving forward, no matter who left or anything like that. So, yeah, a lot of upside, a lot of capabilities. I think the biggest question mark, I don't have this. I did write this over a week ago. I feel like it's been a little answered just in the intel we've been able to receive from fall camp. But I am curious still. It's not a question mark. And sometimes our question marks are like the weaknesses or the concerns. This is not one of those. This is just more of a curiosity. But I am curious about what kind of impact Josiah Stewart will make. I mean, he was the number four edge in the transfer portal. And I think, again, his production at Coastal Carolina, in 25 games, he had 79 tackles, 16 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 81 quarterback pressures. I mean, he was extremely effective. But I also think, and this is true in the Big Ten, it's also been true at other Power 5 programs, sometimes it doesn't always translate. There is that learning curve between Group of Five or so-called lower competition to playing against, you know, the bigger offensive line with bigger tight ends. Sometimes players will have great stats against in the non-conference play, and then they just won't be able to convey that into the rest of the season. So I'm not skeptical. I do think he's going to be effective, but there's a big difference between he's a great rotation option when Jalen Harrell needs a break, and then there's, oh, he's actually the next Josh Uche and he's going to lead the team in sacks. I feel like those are two different potential outcomes. So fascinated by him, not skeptical, but I am just curious because there will be that size difference. But I don't know. All the players seem to be really enamored with him in the fall camp press conferences. It does seem like he's making that acclimation process. And And I will say in the spring game, he did not look out of place. He really didn't. I mean, the way he was, you know, towing that line of scrimmage, the way he was getting to the quarterback, felt pretty comfortable with him. I think one thing I am also curious about is, you know, what is his role in rushing downs? Is he someone that's like truly rotating with Jalen Harrell, or is it more he's kind of one of the pass rushing guys where you bring in on third and eight, but then in a rushing situation, he's not on the field. So more of a curiosity than like a big question mark I'm circling in red, but that's my biggest question mark for this room. Steve, what's a question you have about this edge room heading into the 2023 season?
Not so much a question mark from a negative standpoint per se. I am, again, we talked a little bit about it with Chris Jenkins in the defensive line episode. Interested to see if Jalen Harrell steps up or develops as a pass rusher this season, because he is an elite run stopper at his position. And you know, we talk about Jenkins as a guy who's probably going to be a first round pick next season. No idea what Harrell's draft prospects are, but if he can rush the passer and develop that part of his game, then he's a guy that could easily find himself on some draft boards next season. So, you know, fascinated to see kind of his development, because he's always been a guy. He's a guy that the staff has to just love him, because he's been very reliable. He's played a ton in huge situations. Another guy I feel like who's just continually gotten better. And that kind of feels like the sort of the final piece of the puzzle. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the coverage thing. You know, the pass rush ability kind of seems like a final piece of the puzzle for a player like him to become a potential difference maker that Michigan can throw out there in any situation, right? So he's kind of the guy. He'll probably be my guy I'm keeping an eye on also, just for that simple fact. You know, the production from the unit, like raw production, isn't there yet, because a lot of we've kind of said that for years now, because they are constantly replacing like a first round pick at least one at the edge spots every year. So you're getting guys that are playing that haven't played a ton or don't have the production, but you expect production from McGregor, from Moore, I think Stewart and situational, like we talk about, but Harrell's a guy I think that can really make a bigger impact. He's got a ton of experience, and I think he has the ability to be a better pass rusher. So fascinated to see kind of what he becomes this season.
Yeah, he's fascinating, because I think there were games last season where it was unquestionably on his pass rushing. I mean, I think against Colorado State, he had eight quarterback pressures. You know, against Purdue, he had three pressures and two sacks. I think Maryland was another game where he was getting to the quarterback a lot, but against Ohio State, no pressures. Against TCU, one pressure. Against Penn State and Michigan State, one pressure. So I think there is I don't think the skill isn't there. I think it's just the consistency, and then being able to do it against draft caliber offensive linemen. Because, you know, if Michigan wants to meet its goals this season, it's going to be playing a lot of really good offensive lines beginning, November 1st or whatever, you know, in November, December, and January. I think if Michigan wants to meet its goals, it's got to have pass rush in some of those big games. And Harrell is someone that they're going to be looking to provide that. He played over four. He led the edge room in snaps last season. You know, Mike Morris was injured, but at the same time, you know, this is someone who started 12 games last year. So they're counting on him to lead this group, not just be a complimentary piece. All right, we're going to hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about X factors, stats to watch, and make bold predictions for this room. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
So, Steve, technically both of these positions are up for grabs. The boundary edge, which is kind of the Sam, the Uche, right? The Ajabo, the Josiah Stewart, the Jalen Harrell, and then the field edge, which is between McGregor and Moore. I don't have a lot to say about the position battle necessarily, just because it feels like they're going to rotate no matter what. Feels like whoever's the hot hand is going to play maybe a little bit more snaps week in, week out. But who is a player either among that group or I guess off the grid that you've got circled as a potential X factor for this room this season, where we might have ideas about what they can be this season, but the potential to play an even bigger role is undoubtedly there?
Probably TJ Guy. Feels like he's the next in line, right? I think Keyshawn Bennett is still gradually ascending. I mean, we talked last year's total.
Keyshawn year away Bennett, you mean?
Yeah. That was last year, so it would have been this year.
I know.
But, right. But yeah, no. Okay. It's not like I've been saying that for 3 years.
No, well, see, here's one thing about the younger edge, because I've already gotten questions about it.
Redshirt, I think Michigan is right.
Well, my thought is like, yeah, I think they anticipate they're going to lose at least two edge guys after this season, right? I think McGregor has pretty much said he's viewing this as his last year, and Jalen Harrell, also a senior, also viewing this as last year. So they can afford, like, they're not asking guys like come play 20 snaps this game. Like they can afford to kind of develop them at their own speed, own pace. At the same time, TJ Guy is someone I think the coaches have circled as kind of that next guy trying to crack that rotation a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So he's ahead of Bennett. You know, we talk about Enow Etta is listed as an edge, but is a defensive lineman. I don't anticipate either of the other true freshmen and Breon Ishmael and Kumba, the Frenchman, making an impact this season. So it really comes down to TJ Guy, Keyshawn Bennett, Tyler McLaurin, and then walk-ons, right? And I don't know, you've done the pressers. I haven't heard Tyler McLaurin's name yet.
I have not. Right? But TJ Guy's the one getting the most.
Know that. Yeah, so it really comes down to which of those three guys sort of steps up, and it does. It feels like TJ Guy is probably head and shoulders above. Nah, maybe I don't know if I say head and shoulders. let's just say head above the other two guys right now. But yeah, if you're in that position, you know, because again, yeah, Keyshawn Bennett's only you go to MGO Blue, I just always disregard like the year that they say, because it says he's a junior, makes it seem like, I mean, he is a third year guy, but he's only a redshirt sophomore. I mean, he redshirted, and yeah, if you're in that position, redshirt sophomore, and you're still not playing a ton, if there's a program that you need to buy into as far as like being patient, it's probably Michigan at edge. You know, every year we're doing this where, you know, two or three new guys step in because they just had two or three guys that got drafted in the first three rounds. You know, it's like fans be patient with these guys, not that fans are being impatient with any of these guys in particular, let's say, per se. But, you know, there are going to be guys that each year, like in that situation, I think, who will step up. So fascinating to hear McGregor that, you know, this will be his last year. I mean, he's still got to do it on the field, you know what I mean? I think he will. But...
Okay, in his defense, okay. I think
yeah,
he
I was curious. That comment was curious. I made me kind of curious. So
I think he's doing the what's the phrase? Sometimes to make it on the island, you got to burn the boats, right?
Sure.
And that's
sure.
The whole like I need to treat this like my last year, so I have that senior urgency, so I have that breakout. I don't think he hasn't declared, and obviously hurt or whatever.
Right.
But I know when he did an interview in the off season, he talked about how, you know, this is his senior year. He wants to leave a legacy. You know, he's got to do it now. And then it was in a more funny way in the press conference last week, he was asked about Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA being added to the Big Ten. He's like, to be honest, I don't think I'll be around for that. And it's like, it's next year, man. Like, it's not like impossible.
Right. But, no, but I guess that's the right way to.
I think it's the right mentality because one, you know, he's going to get his degree this year, but then two, you're trying to give this all you've got. You got to treat it like your senior year. I mean, that, you know, so much gets said about those senior year, the senior urgency, the senior surge. You know, I think in his mind, he would like to be in the NFL this time next year. And I don't blame him. I think we all would, really. So I think, I don't know that he didn't declare, he's not like scoffing at the idea of a fifth year. I think that was more like his form of motivation for this season.
All right. Just making sure. I was like, you know, very well. Again, I expect it from him because he did. He's another guy that you could really see. You can tell. I mean, that injury, his knee injury is like forever ago, but he's all the way back, obviously. So, yeah. Edge is always a fun position, though. Just it comes down to those three guys. TJ guy's got to have the edge right now.
Yeah, and if he can add in, I think that just – I mean, more depth is more depth, right? So it's and I also do think, you know, that allows them to be mix and match a little bit more, be more versatile. Yeah, the X factor player to me was McGregor, by the way. I think just his ceiling. I think I'm always intrigued when a player is as outspoken as Braden McGregor is about their Michigan legacy. And for some people, maybe they roll their eyes, but like, I always think of like Aiden Hutchinson when I think about that. You know, he was someone that grew up wanting a Michigan legacy. Obviously he wants to play in the NFL too, but I think there was always that part of him that was like, you know, because of his dad, because of, you know, how he was raised, you know, he was like, I want to do that with Michigan. And McGregor, I think, is wired very similarly. You know, he's got stories about getting in shoving matches on the playgrounds because, you know, the kids at his school rooted for Michigan State or whatever. And like, it's like, that's, you know, those are obviously players that become fan favorites for Michigan. But I think there is something to that where I think there is that extra motivation, extra determination. You know, for him, winning Big Ten titles is the dream. But I think there is also that, like, he's basically said, I want to be the one remembered for helping lead and win those Big Ten title seasons. So I think he's got that extra oomph. So stats to watch at edge. A lot of these stats, Steve, you can attest, they've been kind of like the advanced stats or the more analytical stats. You know, this one, pretty simple. I mean, the edge room, they're asked to go get the quarterback, and whether they do or do not is a big difference maker in how Michigan's defense performs historically, but also I think this particular defense last year. So in 2021, they were elite. The edge room was elite at getting sacks. They had 29 in 14 games. A lot of those were Aiden Hutchinson, David Ajabo, of course. Last fall, the room was deeper, and I think they did all right in terms of like getting to the quarterback pressures, but only 21 sacks from the edge room compared to 29 the year prior. And then 13 and a half of those sacks are gone. They're either on another team right now or they're in the NFL. So I think, you know, that's the next step. You watch Braden McGregor's film, you watch Derek Morris' tape, you watch Jalen Harrell's tape outside the Purdue game. There were a lot of quote-unquote almost sacks. I think this year, if this defense is going to be successful, the edge room has to turn some of those almost into actual sacks. I think that the opportunities there, I mean, I just gushed about their upside for however many minutes at the beginning of this episode. But I think to me, that's the stat that's going to differentiate. You know, pressures are great. Run stops are great. Tackles are great. Quarterback hurries are great. At Michigan, if you want to be a good defense, your edge guys need to get to the quarterback and bring them down. That's the differentiator from good to great and from great to elite. So to me, that's the key stat. All right, Steve, final segment for this episode, bold predictions. This one was a little bit of a shot in the dark for me. I believe it. It's not, I didn't just come up with it. I did write it down, but I'm with you. I'm on the Derek Moore hype train. I think he leads Michigan in sacks this year. I think he really does. You know, I think the weight plays a role, but I also just think like he's got that athleticism, that maneuverability where he can carry all that weight, all that strength. So he's not getting bodied by an offensive tackle. You know, he's making real good assertive contact, but then he can still get his feet going and outrun the quarterback too. I think he's going to lead Michigan in sacks this season. It's admittedly a little bit of a shot in the dark just because there's so many candidates who could lead the team in sacks this season. I'm going with Derek Moore to lead Michigan in sacks. That's my bold prediction for this room. What's your bold prediction for this room?
So I've been picking Derek Moore as my breakout player, but I think Josiah Stewart's going to do it. I think Michigan's interior, again, and I hate to keep repeating, but the push and pull we always talk about, I just think Michigan's interior is going to be enough of a force to give a guy like him a lot of opportunities, maybe early in the season on like third down, but I think Stewart eventually finds maybe a role a little bit bigger than that. We've seen guys from small schools at the edge spot in particular transfer to bigger schools and find success early on. I think he will be that. I think he could be that guy or should be that guy for Michigan this season. But I think it'll be either him or Moore. But again, I mean, you know, it could be Braden McGregor too. There's a little more of a room for possibility of like of it being a different guy than there had been in years past, let's say. So I'll say Josiah Stewart. I just like his skill set. I just think he brings it. I think these transfers that come in have a huge chip on their shoulder, and he's going to get ample opportunity as well, like I said. So I'll go with Josiah Stewart ending up as somewhat of a how did we compare it? Like a the transfer, there's like a spectrum of transfer. He's going to be more like one of their top transfers than he was like a Wayne Lyons or something like that. So yeah, I'll go with Josiah Stewart.
Okay, but I would imagine Oluwatimi is probably the gold standard for transfer.
So yeah, I guess he is at this point, isn't he? Yeah, no.
who's kind of like a medium,
like a Mike Dana. Like,
yeah,
would be a medium, right? I mean,
yeah, so somewhere between Dana
and Olu.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I can see that. That's fair. And Mike Dana got drafted, and he's still in the league. So I mean,
right.
You know, that's a good.
Yeah, middle. I wasn't trying to.
No, not at all. First. I was the one that said his name. I was the one that thought of it. But yeah, no, it's you know, like again.
I mean, Josiah, he was someone Michigan was interested in, even though he ended up at Coastal Carolina. Whatever, Michigan did host him for visits. Is that am I correct?
Yeah. So Michigan was one of the. I want to say they were one of the first schools to offer him. So. And ended up, yeah, he went to Coastal Carolina. Michigan was still only one of the only Power Fives that offered him. And I'd have to go back and look, and don't get mad at me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that Michigan may have at least inquired there late. I'm going off strictly off of memory here, but and I don't know if it was a serious inquiry or not, but either way, a player that they were definitely familiar with before he entered the portal, right? I don't think it was not a new name necessarily.
And now, granted, before he blew up at Coastal Carolina, because I think the knock on him was his height, I would assume, at least from a Power 5 level.
What was he like, a 2019 or 2020? Not even 100% sure he was being recruited as an edge by everybody either. You know, that's another area, but either way, a interesting story as far as, yeah, a player that Michigan, you know, he was one of those guys that he was a Don Brown offer too. Got to be clear about that. When Michigan was really starting to hit the Eastern Seaboard, like really, really hard with Don Brown in there, you know, and they hit on a lot of those guys. And so it's kind of come full circle for Stewart because they were Michigan. He might have even been a satellite camp offer, if I remember correctly. I'd have to go back and look. But like I said, no surprises for Michigan there as far as, you know, definitely somebody they at least saw some flashes in high school to be interested in him. So to see him produce, they're probably, you know, I don't think it's any surprise that he was an immediate pursuit in the portal when he entered, right? I mean, almost kind of like they're probably looking back saying, okay, we were right on this guy. Now we can actually get him, you know, so let's go get him.
Yeah, he's very fascinated by him. I mean, he's one of the bigger X factors on the team, because I think, you know, we can all say we think he's going to do this, think he's going to do that, but he could be anything for Michigan this year, including the team's leader in sacks, as you were predicting. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to check out the other episodes wherever you found this podcast, and we'll have the rest of the defensive ones up in the coming days. In the meantime, you can go read all of our stories over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Lots of fall camp discussion over there. Insider intel. We've got analytical previews, like overall big picture season preview stuff, and then updates from fall camp as well. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.